Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Jim Katzman. Jim, are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jim is an agent with Largo Financial Services, helping middle America families identify and resolve critical financial matters. I'm excited to have you on. Jim, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your professional background, and why you do what you do.
Well, I served in the Air Force in public affairs for 25 years. My main occupation was writing and editing stories about people in the United States, Europe, and Asia. After retiring in 1999, I continued in public affairs as a consultant and as a federal civilian. In 2001, I also got life and health insurance licenses and have done business there as well. Personally, my family and I live near Baltimore. Our kids are grown and our youngest being the resident computer geek in the basement. I'm also a member of our local Lions Club, where I've been president, secretary, and in charge of publicity. And as you mentioned, my objective and our company's objective is to help, get solutions for middle American families who are, just like most of us are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, excellent, Jim. So talk to us a little bit about how you actually got into working with people and financial services in general.
That was actually more of an accident as opposed to an intent. I was potentially going to be between jobs, and so I put my resume out, and one of the companies said, hey, come and see a presentation, and I did. And I said, okay, we'd be interested. What do we need to do? And they said, well, you need to get a life and health insurance license. Okay, so I did that. That's back in January of 2001. And by March, I was licensed with life and health and took it from there. So the idea is to, be able to get with people, talk with them, find out, what their pain points are help them so that they aren't having to go, again, paycheck to paycheck and get, right, get a little financial independence and breathing room.
So you started, I'm sorry, what was the month in 2001?
It was January of 01 when I saw the presentation. And like I said, in March, I was licensed in life and health.
Got it. How about that? I started in financial services in essentially June of 2001. So we've been at it for about the same amount of time. And I just saw it on your profile this morning, Jim, that you and I share the same birth date. So we have a lot in common.
Really?
So
yeah. Well, there you go.
So anyway, so 17 years in, with a ton of experience and helping a lot of different people. Can you tell me a little bit about an area that you think that if people made an improvement in, would give them the greatest opportunity for just general success?
Well, in a nutshell, people need to save more. That would be a big help. In an average American family, the husband and wife combined have about, if you can believe it, about $2 million passes through their hands in their lifetimes. And people say, well, how is that possible? I don't have $2 million. Well, if you and your wife have salaries of about $40,000 each, in a lifetime, that's a cumulative of $2 million. But yet, on average, there's only $60,000 saved for retirement. That's on average. So it's tough to be a success in light of those kind of numbers. So the idea is, put a little something away as soon as possible. The sooner the better, for savings. So you have something for retirement and get a little bit more peace of mind.
Yeah, that's interesting. So over the course of a lifetime, a professional lifetime of working, you make $2 million, but we are somehow still living paycheck to paycheck. And so that just tells me that, to your point 100%, that so many of us have a spending problem. So it's tough to save money if we're actually just spending all of it. So, well, fair enough. So just so how do you think people need to go about that? Is it just getting recognition of, hey, I'm in a bad cycle here. I have bad habits of spending every single dollar that I make, and I need to make a change.
People don't generally know what they're spending, and that's understandable. You don't spend a good part of your day sitting back saying, "Oh, well, $6 went there or 20 went here, and the electric bill costs that much." You don't normally tabulate that stuff. One of the things we do with one of our new programs is to, have a worksheet, and people can, start filling in the blanks, saying, "Well, how much do you spend on this?" And this could be gas, could be groceries, can be tips, something like that. And when you tally it up, it's a bit eye-opening, saying, "Oh, so this is why I don't have anything," or, "Oh, you have a few bucks," or, "This is why I even have less than nothing, because the cash flow is not there." So once they can see that, that's one thing. But what are you going to do about it? Well, one of the programs we have is the object is to help people become debt-free in 9 years or less. And that's a combination of getting their information and then finding how the products that we have can help mesh it up. And this works, this is programs we have for both individuals and business, because businesses have debt too,
Sure.
and they might not want to have debt. So especially with the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, I don't, this gets into an area that I don't know, and a lot of CPAs don't yet know what the effects are going to be, but it could well be that business write-offs that you've had in the past, you might not have in the future. What those are, I don't know. And if that's the case, I don't know for sure either. But again, that's up in the air. And again, businesses especially need to get a grip on that.
And going back to what you were talking about, how people aren't necessarily paying close attention to what they're spending, and if you actually did, like every good business should, take an audit of your financials on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual basis, you might be pretty surprised with how much money you're just very casually and mindlessly spending. And $5 a day maybe doesn't seem like a lot, but obviously over the course of a year, that's an enormous amount of money. And if we're talking about, just to use the numbers you were using, somebody making $40,000 a year, $1,000 here or $1,000 there can make all the difference between you being financially successful and you being not financially successful. So.
Yeah, just getting past the point of making ends meet.
Exactly.
That's a big step. Yeah, and the thing is, what you need to know is you don't have to save a massive amount of money today to have big amounts tomorrow. For instance, everyone should have an emergency fund, and a general rule of thumb is that 3 to 5 months of net income is a good emergency fund, but that's not going to appear overnight. So one, a couple years ago, and it said, "Hey, at least put 2% of your net income, your take-home pay, into savings." Now that's not much, and the idea is that people won't miss 2%. And that can go into a savings account or what have you, help build up your emergency fund. And of course, if you aren't going to miss 2%, maybe once you get used to that, maybe you won't miss 3% or 4%. The idea is to, build up a fund, but, put it there, but then have the discipline not to touch it unless it's a real emergency. So, going and saying the ice cream truck's in, let's go get into the emergency fund because it's an emergency to keep the kids happy. No, that's not exactly what an emergency fund is for. So you have to, put it aside and you know, not mess with it. But, you know, you have to have a discipline and not to, you know, to actually do it, and then discipline not to get into it unless an emergency, and an emergency means an emergency.
Right. And I love and require and embrace self-discipline, and I hope that everybody has it and continues to work to get better at it. But the first thing that people need to do is actually have a plan, because self-discipline without any direction is, you know, it's valuable, but it's not going to be as good unless you actually have an actionable plan that you can, like you're talking about, understand your spending, understand if you're spending too much, understand if you have money to be able to go and get ice cream for the kids, whatever it might be. So talk about people who are maybe, they're 30 years old and, you know, they've accumulated a little bit of debt. What's the starting point for where they are right now to becoming more financially successful?
Well, you need to first, you know, admit that you're in debt. You know, some people may have debt, but not classified as such. I mean, they may not see debt, you know, a balance on their credit card as being debt. It is, but they might not look at it that way. But here's the thing. When you give money to the credit card company and they are charging you like 18% interest and for that amount, well, you're giving them that money on interest. They're turning it right around and lending it to other people at you know, more rates, or, you know, just farming it out. So they're making money hand over fist. And it's also not a tax write-off either, even right now. And in the future, it's really not going to be anything related to taxes. So the main thing is pay off what's eating you up the most first. So if you're got a credit card debt, make the payments, and also make more than minimum payments. And, you know, if you make minimum payments on a credit card, you're going to stretch out your debt for like 20, 30 years, maybe never get it paid off.
Right.
Whereas if depending on your amount of debt, if you get into it and make more and maybe substantially more than the minimum payments, and, you know, get that out the way and use the money that you're making the credit card companies rich, and, you know, use it for yourself. That's a big step. So you want to, whatever kind of debts you got, you know, try to make, you know, like principal payments. That includes the cars and, you know, even mortgage. People say, oh no, I need to have the tax deduction. Well, you might not have the tax deduction starting next year, because the standard deduction is going to change under the new law, and you may not be able to take as much interest, if any, for your mortgage. Again, it's a big if. The numbers aren't final, but something's going to happen different. So I wouldn't be too reliant on tax refunds or tax credits on that. The main thing is, if you're paying your mortgage, and let's say of every dollar you pay, right now, I'm going to make up this number, but let's say of every dollar you pay, you're going to get 10% as a tax credit. Well, why not be rid of the mortgage altogether? And, you know, you have that entire dollar to yourself rather than 90 cents going to the lender and for only getting 10 cents for a tax credit. So you do the math, you know, why not have the money for yourself? And again, that's a different kind of mindset than a lot of people have been trained to have, because they say, oh, I need to have a tax credit, or I don't want to pay less in taxes because I'd rather have a refund and let the government have a tax-free loan for next year. Some people like that idea. I don't particularly do myself.
I appreciate that. So making sure that you are identifying and having a realistic conversation with yourself about the debts that you have, coming up with a plan for attacking it, and you think that potentially starting with the high interest rate debt is probably the best course of action.
Yeah, if again, do like let's say you have different sizes of debt. You have a you may have a big size debt with a relatively low interest, and a small size debt with a high interest, or whatever. But the main thing is get something paid off first, so you can claim a victory. So that might be the smallest debt, regardless of how much interest it is, as long as it's out of the way, you're not paying on it, and you can apply that money to the next biggest one, or however you prioritize it. Whatever plan you have, at least have a plan
Yes.
and go about it. And don't be afraid to ask somebody who's in the know, and that doesn't mean necessarily your brother or sister-in-law who always know better than you do. But just because they think they know something doesn't mean they do. So again, ask someone in the know, like start with your accountant, the person who does your taxes. That's a good unbiased person to ask an opinion of. So I'd start there for saying, well, what do you think of this, or that kind of thing. They'll do it.
Got it. Excellent. Well, Jim, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
The thing is, you want to, again, what we've been talking about before is let's get something started. Don't wait. Don't put off your plan saying, well, this plan isn't perfect. I need to work on some more. Well, just do something. Get it started. Don't, as the old saying, don't let perfection be the enemy of, not getting anything done. So you want to, have something, just start something. Even if it doesn't turn out to be exactly the right way you want to do it, at least you started, and you can always make adjustments. Always be flexible. You need to have flexibility anyway in case an emergency comes up, which gets back to the emergency fund. So the main tip is just get something started today, and then you can always tweak it as you go along. But just get something in place, and so you have something cooking.
That is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
So, and everybody's plan, it's not gonna go as smooth as we think, and we need to make sure that it's gonna survive that collision with reality. So when things do go sideways, will you abandon your plan? Hopefully you will be able to adjust course and keep moving in the right direction. So, well, Jim, thank you for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at J Katzaman. That's KatZaman. Jim Katzaman on Facebook, Jim Katzaman on LinkedIn, and Jim Katzaman on Medium. That's where I publish stories each day, and they're of all different subjects. A lot of them financially related, but not all of them. And I do life insurance and annuities through LargoFinancialServices.com.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jim your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Follow him on Twitter, find him on Facebook and LinkedIn, and read all of his great content on Medium, and check out LargoFinancialServices.com as well. Thank you again, Jim.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.